And so then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, the very Son of God, has entered into our creation as one of us. He has grown into a man, he has been baptized, and now, led by the Spirit, he enters the desert for a time of wandering. Here, Luke especially notes that Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit leads him by the hand to this desert to wander for 40 days. This calls us back to this desert that we have seen many wander through. This calls us back to John, who is the voice crying out from this wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." This calls us back to Moses and the people, who were certainly no strangers to this wilderness as they wandered it for 40 years. We see throughout our scripture many prophets and other familiar faces who wandered and traveled through this wilderness. And now our Lord wanders. And in this wandering, our Lord suffers. This is certainly no walk through the park for Jesus. Throughout this journey, Jesus eats no food and is constantly tormented by Satan, the very accuser himself, the very accuser that Jesus has come to face on our behalf. Very little is on the mind of our Lord. He is hungry. He is tired. He is tormented. In his face, you see weariness. And you can see by looking at him that he probably wants to go home. But yet, led by the Spirit, he wanders. We get a little insight into how the devil torments Jesus. He prods and pokes at him, but yet Jesus continues on in his journey. The devil, seeing the hunger of Jesus, knowing how hungry he is, but also knowing his power, knowing that he has not eaten in so long, tempts him. Certainly a mocking temptation. If you really are the Son of God, if you really have all this power and authority over creation, turn these rocks into bread and feast. You see Jesus look over to Satan. He glances at the rocks, then back to this coaxing devil. And what comes from his mouth is not anger, but the truth. Using the words of the great Moses, the leader who wandered these deserts for many years, the one who at the very edge of the Jordan gives these words, Jesus repeats to the devil, "Man does not live by bread alone." Indeed, he does not. Man lives by the very word of God. Jesus here tells of his mission, that his power and authority has been given to him, that all of this that he has comes from the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, is not here to display his power and authority and mastery over creation. Rather, this Jesus is here to do the work of the Father. And as the devil turns away, shaking his head at Jesus, this seems to strike a chord with him. He's not bested, but he does look at this Jesus with pity, but yet reflecting on this devil, he doesn't like the Father. This is the one who rebelled. This is the one who calls on all others to rebel from the Father. He is the one who calls on all to take up their own authority and live their own lives to be independent from the Father. This is what he wants Jesus to do. And he is not finished with Jesus. Instead of allowing Jesus to continue in his wandering, the devil now grabs him by the shoulder and says, "Come with me, I want to show you something." And the devil leads Jesus up a mountain, an impossibly high mountain. And once they reach the pinnacle, there before Jesus stands the kingdoms of the world. Certainly a breathtaking sight, certainly an impossible sight. but yet here they are. There is great pride on the face of the devil as he says, these are mine. They have been delivered to me, all of their authority and their power, and because they're mine, I can give them to whoever I want. And yet, this can all be yours if you would simply worship me. A small price for such a great gift. The annoyance and the bile rises up in Jesus. He knows who these truly belong to. And yet he seems more angered by the offer to worship Satan. But yet our wilderness wanderer keeps his cool and reminds the devil that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, the words of the servant Moses strike the temptation of the devil, and you begin to see him building with anger and annoyance. But he is not finished. With a wave of his hand, the two of them are transported out of the wilderness to the part of the temple with the greatest drop. And facing out towards the distance, Jesus looks down and sees a 100-foot drop with sharp rocks on the ground. His eyebrow raised in curiosity, he looks over at Satan, and Satan grabs him close as if they're old friends, leans in and says, jump. If you really are the Son of God, jump. If you really have all of this power and authority, jump. You know what the books say. You know what those great minds have written. You've been telling me for some time what they have told us. But let me remind you that it too is written that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. So jump. Son of God, jump. The anger rises and boils, but Jesus takes a deep breath, calms down. He is tired, he is hungry, he is sick of being tempted by this devil. And with a simple word, he puts the devil in his place. It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And with that, the devil throws up his hands in frustration. He takes Jesus back to the wilderness and says, fine, Son of Man, wander away, but this is not the last time you will see me. And indeed it is not. As Jesus hosts a final supper for himself and his disciples, Satan leads one of them away, who then betrays Jesus. As Jesus is arrested and taken before the authorities, perhaps the devil's claws are deep into them as they condemn him to die. When Pilate goes before the crowds and asks who they want to release, the very guilty Barabbas or the innocent Jesus? The first voice that comes from the crowd is that of Satan, who says, we want Barabbas. As Jesus carries his heavy cross to his own crucifixion and execution, as insults and slanders are hurled at him from the crowds, the loudest voice of the crowd is the devil. As Jesus is nailed to that cursed tree, the devil is among the people who are poking fun and mocking Jesus as he dies. And as Jesus breathes his last breath, as Jesus dies, the devil is standing there with a smile on his face. But what this cursed devil does not understand is that through this death is the salvation for all. Through this crucifixion, the devil no longer has control on us people as he once did. Through the work of Christ, we no longer face temptation as we once did. Because of this Jesus, the devil is powerless. And notice how the devil is nowhere to be found when Jesus rises from the grave. With the victory firmly secured, the devil is running scared. But yet to this day, He strikes out like a hurt animal hiding in a corner with his fangs drawn and his claws out, striking at whatever might come near. And he seeks us all, trying to take us away, trying to get us to rebel as he once did, our Lord. But he is a fool. He does not understand that we have already won. And so my prayer is this Lenten season, as you gather together to worship your Lord and remember all that he has done for you, all of his great and mighty works and deeds, remember today especially the defeat of Satan. Because it is not only in the desert that the devil has been defeated, it's not only the temptation that has been defeated, it is all evil that seeks to pull you away from your God that has been defeated. As Luther very wonderfully puts it, we have been saved from sin, death, and the devil. My prayer also is that you would use this powerful name of Jesus. We see throughout Acts as the church grows that the demons are coming out and striking at the people of God. And we see one solution to that problem is the powerful name of Jesus. And that is a name that you carry with you to this day. It is a name that gets rid of all temptation, that gives you the strength you need to meet the hardships that face you. And it is my prayer that you will call upon Jesus, who will rescue you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.